If you would, John chapter number 1 tonight, John chapter number 1. I just want to share a few thoughts with us tonight very quickly, and then we're going to have David come up, and then we're going to share with you some things that God's placed before us as a church family. We're excited about that. John chapter number 1. I want to talk to you about something everybody can do. Now, you know what? There's a lot of things I can't do. I can't play the piano. I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. I can barely play the radio. Okay? And so there's a lot of things that I cannot do, but there are some things that anybody can do, that we all can do as the children of God. And we're going to see that here in John chapter number 1. And I'm just going to share some quick thoughts with you tonight. We're going to move right on through the message and get some ideas and be challenged. Now, you know, we got Friend Day just around the corner. That's the biggest day here at Calvary. Now, Friend Day wouldn't be Friend Day without you here. All right, so we want to, everyone, commit that we're going to be here ourselves on Friend Day. We know a year in advance when Friend Day is, so that we don't have to plan vacation, getaways, and all of that during Friend Day, so we can be here on Friend Day. And we can, it doesn't help us to invite our friends and us not be here. So it's important that, you know, unless sick or dead, we're here in the house of the Lord on Friend Day. Amen? And I didn't get a good amen off that one.
Amen.
All right, how about just providentially hindered? Is that better? All right, so what we want to do, we want everybody to commit to be here on Friend Day. We want to commit to bring somebody on Friend Day. I trust you're working right now because there's somebody that needs their life changed and God wants us. See, we get the idea that ministry takes place in here. I mean, ushers, choir members, preacher, greeters, Sunday school teachers, and children's church workers, and bus. I mean, it all takes place in here. And you know what? There is ministry going on in here. But you know, I believe the greatest ministry takes place outside the walls that nobody sees. It's the ministry that you have in your office, or down at the job site, or down there at the hospital, or at the doctor's office, or wherever it is that God has placed you as His servant, His missionary, so to speak, His witness out in the world, so that you can impact, God can use you to impact someone else's life for Him. And I believe the greatest ministry, the most impactful ministry, is not necessarily what I'm doing here tonight, talking to you. It's what you're going to do, and what we do Monday through Saturday, outside these walls, to make a difference in the lives of other people. And what I want to challenge us to do is to get outside these walls. That's been our thing this entire year, and make a difference in the lives of other people. And I believe that's where it's at. And if you look with me, if you would, that there are some things that all of us can do for the Lord. Number one, everybody can bring somebody to Jesus. Did you know that? Look, if you would, please, in verse number 40. And the Bible said, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother. Now, I like Andrew. You say, why do you like him? Because his name means manly. You know what? There's nothing wrong with being manly in 2016. Amen? Nothing wrong with that, fellas. Nothing wrong with being manly and masculine. Listen, we got too much of trying to push that masculinity away and feminize men in our day. And you know what? I believe that men ought to be men and ladies ought to be ladies, and we ought to be comfortable in who God made. Yes, amen. And manly. And listen, I believe we've got manly men here, and train our young people, our young men, to be manly. And Andrew was a man's man. He was Simon Peter's brother. He was a fisherman. But you know what? He was a man who loved Jesus Christ. He met him on this day. He's going to spend the entire day with Jesus. And then when it's all over with, look what happens in verse number 41. The Bible said, he first findeth his own brother Simon. When Andrew met the Lord, the first thing he did is he went and found his brother Peter. He got a burden for his brother and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Now look at verse number 42. I underlined it in my Bible. And he brought him to who, church? Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now you know what's interesting? Andrew brings Peter to Jesus. And from a human standpoint, Peter's going to eclipse Andrew. That means Peter's going to be one of the inner circle of three. He's going to preach on the day of Pentecost, and thousands of people are going to get saved. He's going to write several New Testament books. Andrew never wrote a book of the Bible. Andrew's never really heard much about after you get past the Gospels. And really, he sort of passes off the scene. I believe God still used him, and I still believe he made an impact for the Lord. But you know what Andrew was? He was a behind-the-scenes kind of guy. You never find his name on the church sign. It doesn't show up in the bulletin. He's not been brought up on the platform and given awards by James, the pastor in the Jerusalem church. None of those things. He's an inconspicuous guy in the background that's impacting people's lives for Jesus Christ, because Peter would have never been what Peter was if Andrew hadn't been what Andrew should have been. And the Bible said he brought him to Jesus. And you know what's interesting? You don't see Andrew preaching to a crowd. You don't see him stirring masses of people. He doesn't see thousands of people saved for a single sermon. When you look at his life, he was known for bringing individuals and not crowds to Jesus Christ. And you know what? When I preach on a Sunday morning, or Brother Vernon preaches, or one of these other guys, or have an evangelist in, and people will come down the aisle, and somebody will say, you know what? I want to come to know Christ as my Savior. I want to make a decision for Jesus Christ. Can I help you understand something? That's not what we did. It's not the greatness of our messages. It's not the wonder of our personalities. It's not the charm of our charisma. And you all know that. It's because you impacted somebody's life. See, you brought them here. They're your fruit. All we did was help you pick it. But you're the one who made the difference. And friend, you know what the Bible's telling you? You know, church, what it's saying to me right here? It's saying that it's the person that's behind the scenes that probably makes the greatest difference in the work of God. Now, the Bible says of Peter that he brought him to Jesus. In John chapter 6, he finds a lad with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. In John chapter 12, he's going to find some Greeks who are searching, some Greek Gentiles who are searching for the Savior. And they come to Andrew and they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And by the way, when people come here, that's who we want them to see. Amen? But in every instance, Andrew is bringing someone else to Jesus Christ. He was, in the true sense of word, a soul winner. Andrew fully understood the value of a single soul. And can I tell you, hey, listen, God may not use you to bring thousands and hundreds, but you know what? God can use every one of us to bring somebody under the sound of the gospel so that their life can be changed. And one of the reasons we have Friend Day, one of the reasons we have days like that, is to help us to have means and motivation to get out and say, "Hey, listen, would you be my friend on Sunday, because I want to introduce you to the friend of friends, my greatest friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, who wants to be their friend." Amen? That's what we want to do. And so there's invitations out on the table. There's tracks in the track rack. There's opportunity for us to get outside the walls and impact the lives of other people. You say, "Well, preacher, I just can't get up in front of a crowd and do a lot of talking." But you know what? I'm asking you this. Can you get a burden for one person? You may never reach a multitude, but can you bring your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, or maybe a friend? I mean, you know what? Can you get a burden for a Sunday school class or a bus route or a children's church? Never underestimate the value of one's soul and the impact that can be made. You see, Andrew got saved and immediately got a burden for his brother. And Andrew's act of bringing his brother to Christ led to the conversion of a man who 3 years later is going to preach to 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. Imagine what must have been going through the mind of Andrew that day when Peter got up on that day and he began to preach. And no doubt Andrew, the other disciples, was out there and they were baptizing these people that followed the Lord in believers' baptism that day. Can you imagine? I bet he was glad that he got a burden for his brother. And all the fruit of Peter's ministry was also the fruit of Andrew's faithful witness, because if Andrew hadn't have done what he should have done, Peter would have never got to do what he did. See, God wants to use you to impact somebody's life for Him. Everybody, pretty much, in churches like ours, knows his name, D.L. Moody. Most of us know that name. He was a man that actually reached 2 continents for Christ. Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, Illinois. Moody Bible Institute. He was the person who actually, I believe, that popularized Sunday school and reaching children. And by the way, he actually started the first bus route, but it was actually a wagon route. Because they go through the city of Chicago with wagons and they pick up kids and bring them to Sunday school. Hey, you know what? And 100 years later, we're doing the same thing. We're just using new yellow buses. Amen? And making a difference. Everybody knows him, but I bet if I was to not even mention him, and I was mentioning a man by the name of Edward Kimball, most of us wouldn't know who he is. He was his Sunday school teacher. He got a burden to win his entire class to Jesus Christ. He went to Holton's shoe store to witness to one of his students named Dwight. Kimball was frightened. He was trembling. I mean, he was walking so fast he actually passed the entrance into the store. He went back and bolted through the door, his heart pounding, and he put his hand on the young man's shoulder and asked him, he said, "Dwight," he said, "wouldn't you like to come to Christ?" Kimball, he felt so defeated that day and downcast, thinking he had botched the job. But that day, God used the feeble witness of a timid Sunday school teacher, and D.L. Moody got saved. And he went on to shake 2 continents for Christ, and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, were saved as a result of his ministry on 2 continents. Edward Kimball became known as the man who moved millions. Amen. It might be your Sunday school class that has the next Dwight L. Moody on it. It might be your bus route that has the person that brings revival to America. It might be your children's church that one day may be standing in the pulpit of Calvary Baptist Church leading this congregation. We have no idea what God wants to use us to do. But you know what? It's something everybody can do. Everybody can bring somebody to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't we agree with that? But if we don't ever get outside of ourselves, and we don't ever get outside of our walls, and we don't ever ask God to give us a burden. And listen, can I tell you, you don't get a burden by just saying, being in your room and praying and say, God, give me a burden. God, give me a burden. No. What you do is you put shoes to those prayers. And when you get out and you begin to pray, and then you put feet to those prayers, and you begin to invite somebody and get a burden for them, I'm telling you, your heart will be burdened for the people that God wants you to reach. And by the way, I don't wait till I feel some kind of burden. I just say, you know what? I'm going to reach them anyway. But what happens is over that period of time, God begins to give me a burden for certain people that's greater than others that I pray for on a regular basis, but I'm sharing something with somebody all the time. And that's what we ought to do. Listen, there don't ever be a Sunday, walk out these doors, that we don't have something in our pocket to hand to somebody and invite them to Calvary Baptist Church of Jesus Christ. Elevator operator at a hospital in Nashville said this. He said, I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'd say it's a pretty good job. What about you? Turn with John chapter 6. I want you to meet something else that everybody can do. Not only can everybody bring somebody to Jesus Christ, everybody can give their gift to the Lord. Look at John chapter number 6. Here's a great multitude of people in John chapter number 6. There's 5,000 men besides women and children. The Lord's been preaching to them that day, and it comes to the evening, and it's time to eat. And Jesus is going to ask a question. He, in verse number 5, he said, he lifted up his eyes, saw a great company coming to him, and said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? He said, Philip, these folks are hungry. We need to buy some food, and we need to feed the multitude. Must have been a Baptist multitude. Like to eat. And this he said to test him, to prove him for himself, knew what he'd do. Philip answered him. He's calculating. He said, Lord, he said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. I mean, if we had 200 days' wages of food, we wouldn't have enough bread sufficient for everybody that they may take a little. Look at verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here. You know what? God will use anybody that's willing to be used of him. Here's a lad. Here's a young boy that had come to hear Jesus preaching. And you know what he has? He doesn't have a bunch of food. He's got a sack lunch of 5 barley loaves. That's about the size of the dinner rolls you get at the Golden Corral. I mean, we're not talking about big loaves of bread and some little sardine fishes. I mean, just a little small thing. It's just enough for his lunch. He's got 5 barley loaves, too small. But and he begins to look at that lunch and look at the crowd, look at the lunch and look at the ground. He said, but what is this among so many? But here's what's interesting. Look at verse number 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. There was much grass in the place. The men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. You know what he didn't do? He didn't say, you know, son, I really appreciate your offer, but you know, you really don't have much to give. And so why don't you just go ahead and go back to the line, back of the line? He didn't do that. He took what he had and he used it. And you know what? If we're not careful, we're waiting on the opportunity of great giftedness to do something for God. Because we have to think that we have to have great giftedness to make a difference. But we don't. God just wants to take the gifts that I do have and use them. But you know what? So often the gifts that we do have are never used by God because we think they're so small and so insignificant and that they couldn't amount to much and that God could never really do anything with me. And nothing could be further from the truth. As a matter of fact, we find right here that Jesus takes the lunch of this small lad, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and he feeds the thousands, and he takes up 12 basket loads as an object lesson for every one of those disciples. It's an object lesson for every one of us as well. And I believe the reason sometimes we fail to realize is because here we find that this little boy, that Jesus, it's interesting, never commanded something that he wouldn't enable him to do. So he took what he found, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant, and Jesus did something great with it. And I believe sometimes we fail to do things for God that we think that what we have is so small, so insignificant, that God can't use us. We think that God has to use something big, great, special, large, but yet our God specializes in using the small and the insignificant and the weak. Have you ever noted in the Bible all the small things that God's used? How about the rod of Moses? How about the trumpet of Joshua? How about Gideon's lamp and pitcher and brought a great victory in Israel? How about Samson using the jawbone of a donkey? What about David with a sling and a stone? What about this lad here with five barley loaves and two small fishes? And I believe what God's saying to us is, listen, God's not looking for great ability. God's looking for availability. Reason why we're not being used of God the way God wants to use us and getting outside the walls the way we can is where we're not taking what God has given us and making it available for Him to use. Let's determine that we're going to make ourselves available. See, hey, I can bring somebody to Jesus and I can also give my giftedness to God. I can make myself. Everybody can do that. And you know what? We've got a homecoming offering coming up in just a few weeks. And that homecoming offering is something that last year you gave $55,000, and we bought upgraded buses for our bus routes. Man, aren't those buses nice and beautiful and wonderful? Thank you for giving to the Lord. We had a teen bus rider saved today. No telling how many young people whose lives have been changed because they've rode in on these buses and somebody here's loved them and impacted their life. Folks, you can't put a price tag on that. You just can't do it. There's a person whose destiny's changed from hell to heaven, their life forever altered because there was a church that cared enough to give and bring them in here and love them and impact their lives. Boy, I think that's worth it, don't you? Much of the time what we do is use that for some time for debt reduction. Folks, we're in an interesting place. Can I just talk to you from my heart? I need to hurry because I've got to have Dave come up. He's got to drive back to Greenville possibly, and I've got to give him time to do that. I just haven't preached in a long time. You know what it is, Baptist preacher, I haven't preached in a long time. I told him I preached 15 minutes, and I think I've already went further than that. But anyway, I'm going to close it up. We're in an interesting time in the history of our church. Many of the people that sacrificed and gave and worked are gone. And it's not because they left here. It's because God's took them to heaven. Three moves from a truck stop to Spanier Road to here. People that we don't even know and that you wouldn't even know has sacrificed so that you could be sitting in an auditorium like this and we could be hearing the gospel preached and our lives being changed and opportunity to take the ministry to a whole nother level. But now it's our turn. We're a church are standing at a crossroads. We'll either go forward or we'll go backward. We'll either sacrifice or we'll falter. And will cease to be an impact in our world. Because eventually what happens, if a church eventually will plateau and it reaches a place where it says, you know what, I think we've done everything God wants us to do. And we quit sacrificing. And we quit bringing people to Jesus. And we quit getting excited about what God has for us. And we quit giving ourselves to the Lord and giving ourselves faithfully to Him. Then what happens is it becomes a slow trickle. And churches that are like this, I can promise you, across America, have less than 100 people in them on a Sunday morning. And now it's our turn. It's up to us to decide whether we're going to take the baton and we're going to move forward. And let God use us to do what maybe some of you are seeing here because there was somebody here that maybe is no longer here, but they invited you to church. Or they led you to Christ. Or they prayed for you. Or they encouraged you when you were away from God. And now you're sitting here and your family's here and God's blessing your life and working in your life. But there was somebody that God used to do that. Somebody impacted you. And God wants to use you to impact somebody. See, something everybody can do? Everybody can bring somebody to Jesus. Number two, everybody can make themselves available so that He can use their giftedness for Him. There is a place for you to make a difference. Then number three, all of us can faithfully serve Him with our lives like Andrew did. And like Peter did. And like those that come to our minds did. That many of them are, we have some that they're not even able to make it more than one service a week now. Some make it just a couple times a month. But they used to be vibrant servants of God in our church. Precious, precious servants of God. They've got the willingness, they just don't have the ability anymore. So God's saying, now it's your turn. You know, one of the things that's encouraged me is Brother Vernon's dad went to heaven. I've had different people come to me and say how that service impacted their life. And Sister Jan's dad, how that service impacted their life. And they would come to me and they said, you know what? It's helped us understand what he was and what we need to be. Which of us will be the prayer warrior? Which one of us are going to be the sacrificial givers? Which of us are going to be the ones that we let God use us to bring others to Him that we might continue to move forward for Him? Because you know what? We are moving forward. We are seeing God do great things. We are seeing Him change lives. We've got a wonderful enrollment in our school. We've got a doubled enrollment in our Christian college. We're holding steady in our bus routes and with the number of people that are sick in our church. We've had 10 men battle cancer this year, not counting ladies and then with a debilitating illness. And you know what? We're still moving on. Folks are still uniting with our church. People are still getting saved. Baptist series are still going to get stirred. God's still working, church. Let's determine that we're going to be the people to let God use to take us where He wants us to go. Amen. Let's be that man. Let's be that lady. And say, God, here am I. Use me. And you know what, folks? That also involves consistently and faithfully giving of our resources to God. It is. Of giving to Him on a regular basis. You know what? You can't outgive God. I'm going to give you a little illustration and I'm going to be done. This past week, God burdened my wife and I separately to do something for a preacher friend of ours. I'm not going to tell you what we did. I'm not going to tell you how much it was. But here's what's interesting. We didn't a bit more do that. And I don't do it for this reason. But it's exciting. I don't do it for this reason. We actually gave that individual anonymously a gift. He didn't know who it came from, how it got there. And in less than 3 days, God tripled it in our lives. Amen. From an unbelievable, you'd never dream how God did it. Tripled it. And I'm like, God, I have never been able to outgive You. Giving is one of the most exciting parts of my Christian life. My offering, and when I give it to the Lord, way above the tithe, I can promise you that. That's one of the most exciting parts of the service to me. Because I know God's going to bless my life. That doesn't always mean I get a check in the mail. But it always means that God is there blessing my life, meeting my needs. And folks, in 27 years of serving the Lord, there's never been a need unmet. God's been faithful. And He'll be faithful to you. We need to learn to be faithful in that area of our lives and let God work and show us the beauty of learning to give to God. That's a wonderful thing. And you know what? Homecoming offerings is a good thing. That's just a special offering. That's not regular tithes and consistent giving. Boy, but learning to do that and then giving special offering, that special offering is going to begin the start of moving us toward where God wants us to be. And I trust you'll be praying. There should have been a letter in the mail, special envelope coming your way that was in there that we give. This is not. Now listen, I'm telling you what I'm not going to do with that offering. Okay, I'm not going to put my tithes in that offering because that's not what it's for. That's my special gift. That's my sacrificial gift that my wife and I are praying about what God wants us to give above our tithes and missions giving and what we normally give so that this ministry can go forward and the work of God go forward. And you know what? I can promise you ain't going to be $1 million. If it was, I'd pay the debt off, Brother Maine. Wouldn't that be exciting? I know y'all, I thought it was a Broyhill and I could do that, but I really couldn't. It'll be like this lad. It'll be a large gift for us, but for somebody else, it may not be. You see, it's not the amount we give. It's the heart behind it and the sacrifice behind it. And then God takes our little together and multiplies it and makes much out of it as we move forward for Him. And if everybody does their part, great things happen. Can I encourage you to unite? Just like you've united in prayer for me, for others, can we unite together behind what God wants to do here at Calvary? To see Him work and see His hand work again in a mighty way. I guarantee that truck stop building, they never saw this. I was here and I was talking to Wesley. He's a pre-winger, and what Wesley called himself, that means he was before the two wings at the old building. I was too. Brother Vernon was too. There's a few of us still around there. How many of you are pre-wingers? That means you were at Calvary before the wings were built, the old building. All right. How many of you were on Spain Iyer Road? How many of you have come since we've been on Main Street? Wow, it's about even. It's amazing, isn't it? But you know what? You probably wouldn't have been here if we hadn't have made the sacrifice to move from there to here. And there's other people that want to be here because we're going to make a sacrifice to see God do great things in the future, because God's still wanting to use us. Amen? So let's let God do that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the time to be able to challenge your people tonight. And Lord, I